Hello, everyone. My name is Michelle Tavares. You may recognize me as Dr. Tenpenny's right hand. I'm covering for Dr. T tonight while she's away. We want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us today for our weekly show, The Tenpenny Files on Your Health. You know, for nearly 25 years, Dr. Tenpenny's authority in the field of vaccines has been unparalleled. She's invested tens of thousands of hours of research and writing time to expose problems associated with vaccines. Her expertise is widely recognized. She's literally given thousands of interviews on radio, TV podcasts, live conferences, and seminars, sharing her highly researched information on the importance of informed vaccine decisions. What many don't know is that she is a trained ER doctor who was director of a level 2 trauma center for 12 years and an integrative medicine physician with a very busy practice in Cleveland, Ohio, and 2 ECP centers in the country. So she's gifted with a wide range of things to discuss related to health. This is an educational show that we hope will bring you valuable information. And tonight we bring you our monthly special guest, Twyla Braes. Twyla is president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, a patient-centered, privacy-focused policy organization established in Minnesota to protect patient and doctor freedom. You don't want to miss this one. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Welcome back. Twyla Braes is president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, a patient-centered, privacy-focused, free market policy organization established in Minnesota 23 years ago to protect patient and doctor freedom. Her efforts have led to amazing results, including a national law requiring parental consent for research using newborn DNA and a national campaign exposing HIPAA as a data-sharing rule, and the development of the Wedge of Health Freedom and the Patient Toolbox, easy-to-use tools to help patients understand their options in coercive situations and maintain control over their treatment decisions, which is ever more important today than it's ever been, right? On an even broader scale, Twyla's Health Freedom Minute is heard daily by more than 5 million listeners on more than 870 radio stations in 48 states. She's provided testimony to members of Congress in state legislatures and around the country. Her work has been featured by CNN, Forbes, Fox News, The Hill, The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, and more. All of these efforts led to the Minnesota physician to include her on the list of the 100 most influential healthcare leaders in 2020. And in the midst of all that she does, she's the author of the 8-time award-winning book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. We really want to talk about that. I think we've had Twyla on now about 6 times, Twyla. And I want to welcome you right back onto the health, the Tenpenny Files on Your Health for our monthly show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thank you. You know, one of the top topics that we've always hit on when you've come on the show is HIPAA. So I definitely want to hear about the HIPAA month update. Let's start with that.
Sure. So we have long declared April to be Truth About HIPAA Month because people do not know what HIPAA actually means. They have no idea that it's not what they have been told. They think it protects privacy, but it doesn't do that. It actually opens up your medical records really broadly. And this year, 2024, on April 14th, That was the 21st anniversary of HIPAA being imposed across the country and all of us losing our medical privacy. And so we thought it was important. Several years ago, we decided to say that April would be Truth About HIPAA Month, and we would do a variety of things during April to try to get the American public to realize that they've been duped, that they have been deceived. And so we call HIPAA the deliberate deception. Everybody talks about it as though it is the privacy rule, and it's really the anti-privacy rule. There is no privacy in HIPAA. Actually, I would say it's more of a security rule. So they feel like, and they've given themselves permission to share the data hither and yon, and they only say that under HIPAA, you have to make sure that all of those who aren't supposed to get it, which are loads of people, that they keep the data secure, that they don't let it be shared. So this is a press release that we wrote about the fact that it is Truth About HIPAA Month. But if you go to the top of that press release, you will see the cartoon. So this month we're doing cartoons. So we've got five cartoons, and each one is being released on a Tuesday. And so this one was our first one. It was about an elderly woman holding the notice of privacy practices and saying, this is not about privacy at all. It's all the ways that my data can be shared. And that's true. Most people never look at the notice of privacy practices. They think about the words and they just think, oh, it's privacy practices. Great. All my data is protected. No, all your data is not protected. This is actually a list of how your data can be shared and used without your consent. And this is just a great cartoon because this woman has read it and gone, you know, that's not true. This is nothing about privacy. This is about sharing all my data. And that is what HIPAA is. It's all about sharing your data, not protecting it.
Well, I think we've learned over the last few years that, you know, data collection is a very big business. And, you know, we see that with Facebook and all social media platforms. Data collection is huge. I mean, they share this to make money. They share this to control. You know, would you say that HIPAA is a CIA operation? Because that's similar to what we see happening with Facebook.
I wouldn't say it's a CIA operation. I don't know whether or not the CIA was in there in the very beginning. But if you if any of your listeners have looked at my book or your viewers have looked at my book, I go through the history of HIPAA, and there was an entire group of data folks, government, health plans, hospitals, everybody who wanted to have HIPAA put in place. It was called WEDI, the Work Group on Electronic Data Interchange. And they all worked to take away our privacy rights because they wanted the data for their own purposes, whether that was for, you know, earning money or whether that was for controlling the doctors, which is another way to be profitable. You control what the doctors do and not as much money as comes out of the health plans, for example. And so they all had their own agendas, their own purposes. And if we look at United Health Group, they have a subsidiary. So they're the largest health plan in the country, actually in the world. And they have a subsidiary called Optum Insights. And in 2022, their revenue was $18.9 billion. And all they do is slice and dice and sell and all sorts of other things, health data. That's their business, health data. So that's a huge profit. And so you can see how much money there is in having access to everybody's private confidential medical records to do all sorts of things from profiling to controlling the doctors to selling the data to selling it to researchers, you know, whatever it is.
This is one of the reasons that I really like the organization Freedom Health Connect. If you go to freedomhealthconnect.com, they are not collecting your data. So everybody should have a look at that as a way to find your directory to practitioners, whether it's, allopaths or homeopaths or naturopaths or chiropractors. I mean, the list is humongous, but they are not doing a data collection. So if you're interested in protecting your privacy, that's a place that I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, Twyla, but that's definitely a place that you want to associate yourself with, an organization you want to associate yourself with. I highly suggest everybody go there. It's freedomhealthconnect.com. And they're good friends of ours. We work very closely with them as well. And this is one of the reasons, Twyla, because we want people to have privacy. You know, that, you know, I, Back to that cartoon for a second where she was holding up, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. She was holding up that document and it said, I'm just going to ask Diane to put it back up again. Can you put up that cartoon for one more second? As soon as I saw that cartoon, Twyla, the first thing I thought about was the book 1984. So it says, HIPAA, Notice of Privacy Practices. And they have such a good, man, they have a really good marketing team. They have such a good way of twisting the words, doublespeak, right? So just always consider that if you see it, if you see anything like that in these organizations, forefronting organizations, just understand that everything they're saying, just flip it around. It's the opposite of what they're telling you. So, if it's safe and effective, it's probably not.
So
If it's notice.
you'll notice here we and we would love your listeners to share this. It's on our it's on all of our social media, Facebook. It's also on our website, but it's on Twitter, et cetera. And you'll notice there, if you look at the flowers, that they are drooping. And our artist did that specifically because he didn't want to have them all bright and shiny. And you'll also look at that hospital receptionist. So those receptionists may or may not understand how broadly the information is shared, but they will no doubt be shocked at the fact that you may not want to sign the statement that you have received or read or understood this notice of privacy practices, which is something that we are trying to get people to do or to not do, to not sign it. And so a lot of times you have to face the clerks when you refuse to sign it, the receptionist, and they're like, "What? This protects your privacy." And now all of your viewers know, no, it does not, and I am not going to participate in this deception.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I worked in a hospital, and I remember when that whole layout came along, where all parents were accepting that their children's information was going to run across all the hospitals that were within that system, in order to protect them. So if they're in another province or in another state, or, well, in our case, provinces or cities, that all the hospitals can easily find their information. I'll very honestly, no one's reading what it really means. They're just being told what they want you to understand or want you to believe they're doing, for the good of that patient, of course. And I don't think that even doctors spend much time really understanding and seeing what is being shared and the why. They're just being told this is great. It's for patient safety. It's so that no matter where they go, and patients do get taken to different hospitals sometimes, and they want to make sure that that information is properly being shared, right? And of course, everything's online now, not pen and paper. And so everything is online. So anyway, I can assure you that no one's questioning it because they're being told that the reasons are for patient safety and make sure that the records don't get skewed. So
Well, and I was going to say, I know Freedom Health Connect, and I know that that is for allopaths and alternative, but we do have the Wedge of Health Freedom, and that is an online directory of, physicians, nurse practitioners, et cetera. And one of our principles, our eight principles, is true patient privacy. So we have them agree that they are not sharing that information, not connecting to
that's good.
online directory, et cetera. Or an
That's great.
online exchange.
And so they can come on the same way and choose who they want to work with.
They just go to jointhewedge.com and then they can look for a practitioner in their neighborhood. Now, there's lots of practitioners we would like to have online, and some of your listeners may know who they are, that they only take cash. So our wedge only is for cash-based practices. So they can't take insurance and they can't take Medicare. Because as soon as you take one Medicare or one insurance patient, all of your other records are open to the corporations or to the government because they say that they need all that data on all the patients, or at least a subset of all the patients, in order to determine whether you are a good doctor. And so we cannot, promise any kind of privacy,
That's
if
right.
we have Medicare and the insurance companies involved.
And I think that if people want to move into a system like this where they do have privacy, you really start to appreciate where cash is king, because that's the only way to protect your privacy. So just to clarify for everyone, the wedge free it's wedgefreedom.com.
It's the Wedge of Health Freedom
Sorry,
and
wedge of
found
health
at
freedom.
jointhewedge.com.
Join wedge.com.
Jointhewedge.com.
Very good. And that's local then. They can find local practitioners that they can work with.
We've got 460 some, I think, across the country, and
That's
with many
great.
more that we would like to have added.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, there are options, everybody. We don't have to live in a system that is causing us grief. So there you go. And then we kind of got a little bit sidetracked there talking about that cartoon. Was there another one you wanted us to show?
Well, I don't know if you have the one of the three gentlemen. So if you have the one of the three gentlemen, you can show that one, and we would love that one. I mean, there are five cartoons. Next week, we will have the last one. I believe this one, yes. This one is big health, big data, and big government talking together about the fact that Americans haven't figured out yet that HIPAA does not protect their privacy, and big data is saying, hopefully, they won't figure it out forever, because their confidential data is his retirement nest egg. And, you know, this is true. You know, I said what I said about Optum Insights. That's a lot of money just off of the data.
Wow. Is there the other two would you like to show? Because there's five. Do you want to show the other two?
No, I don't think that we've shared them. I'm not positive. Unless Diane has them. I don't know if she does or doesn't, but I knew she had those two.
Diane, do you have the other two to share? Pop up here. They're just you know, the visual. The visual is eye-opening. So.
So I can just tell you that one of them has two executives sitting together with a pile of medical records, just talking about how it's a good thing that we don't have to ask for patient consent to have access to all of this data. And there we go. And they're thanking goodness for HIPAA, because they wouldn't want to have to ask permission. And then the other one is two nurses talking together in the hospital. And one of them is an organ transplant coordinator who is saying that this one patient is dying and appears to have a healthy heart. And could the other nurse call up the organ procurement organization? But the other nurse says, I know HIPAA doesn't require us to tell the family, but shouldn't we ask them first? And this is one of the 12 national priority purposes for which the data can be shared for organ procurement. And that's shared without patients' consent or their family members.
And it's amazing how whenever we look at anything, we're always, oh, are we HIPAA compliant? You know, that's the biggest thing. Is it HIPAA compliant? Meanwhile, you know, the only thing they're really concerned about is data collection and being able to do things without your consent, it seems.
Right. Right. That's right.
Amazing. Well, you know, I think we could talk about that for hours, digging into the information about HIPAA, but I want to move you on to the next topic of conversation, which is ivermectin. You know, ivermectin has been in the news now for the past, you know, at least 3 years, four years, maybe, where everybody was up in arms. Well, not everybody. I mean, people who were in the know were looking for ivermectin everywhere, and practitioners were losing their licenses. They were being shunned. They were having their reputations destroyed over this. I know some who are still in courts because of this. You know, all because the mainstream media and pharma were making such a big stink about the fact that people were using it and how it was not appropriate. Enough so that they would destroy doctors' lives over the prescription of it. Let's talk a little bit about that. There's been quite a big turn of events in the world of ivermectin, Twyla.
Yes, but I do want to say, because you talked about they were willing to destroy doctors' lives, but they were also willing to let patients die.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So many patients died because they said no to this repurposed medication that's really inexpensive. I think the World Health Organization said it was like 2.8 cents per pill on the real market, right? So here's their tweet from the FDA saying to stop it, to not use ivermectin. And this tweet, amongst other things, led three doctors to sue the FDA for the practice of medicine without a license, because here they are actually telling the American people to stop taking a medication, which a lot of doctors have actually prescribed to their patients. And of course, desperate patients were going to feed and seed companies and finding, you know, horse medicine which had ivermectin in it, which could be used safely, but of course, at a different concentration for the patient. They had to figure it out. And so what has happened now is that Those three doctors won their lawsuit because the FDA settled. And so the FDA has taken a lot of their anti-ivermectin propaganda off of their website and off of their Twitter feed. And you can't even find that tweet anymore. I think they took it off maybe a week ago because they were required to do so. But one thing that we said, so here's our press release that you're looking at. And if you stop right there, and you'll see where in the third paragraph it starts, however, and that's my statement about the lawsuit. So it's fantastic that they won, but the FDA did not have to apologize. It didn't have to admit that it lied about ivermectin, saying that it wasn't safe. And it really was a slap on the wrist. And so I don't even know for sure whether or not this will stop boards of medical practice from pursuing doctors for still prescribing ivermectin or any other medications that are given for off-label purposes. And as a matter of fact, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, she on her Twitter site, she has recorded conversations with pharmacists where they are refusing to dispense medications that she is giving off-label unless she provides them a rationale. So this is really, you know, where the doctor suddenly cannot take care of the patient without a bunch of bureaucrats, including these pharmacists, deciding that they will decide whether or not the patient can have this medication. So I don't know that this lawsuit win is going to be sufficient to stop this bad, bad behavior, this dangerous behavior, actually. But it was a win in that the FDA actually had to take down all of their anti-ivermectin propaganda.
Well, that is definitely a win. I think it probably falls in the hands of the people now to make sure that no one ever forgets that this happened. But I mean, they're still in business. They're still running the show. They'll continue to run the show. Unfortunately, it is what it is. There's a lot of money involved in that and a lot of handshake exchanges to get things done. So, you know, I don't think we'll get rid of that organization anytime soon. And they still seem to rule the roost.
Well, the thing about ivermectin, and it's coming out, you know, even during the time that they were saying it was not safe and it could be toxic, there were studies from NIH talking about how it could be helpful or potentially a cure at some point for cancer. And now there's more articles coming out. The Epic Times, I think, has had two or three about the stories of patients who have used ivermectin and how it has delayed the patient's death, how it has improved the symptoms, how it has made chemo more easy to tolerate. You know, there's all of these things that ivermectin could be useful for. And the FDA did its level best to paint this as just a dangerous drug. And I like to tell the story of the woman in Cameroon who decided that ivermectin was her drug of choice for suicide. And she took 400, she was found after she had taken 400 3-milligram pills in a 500 pill bottle. And she had symptoms. She had gastric symptoms. She had neurological symptoms. She had lots of symptoms. They took her to the hospital. They basically plugged her into an IV and waited for her symptoms to subside. And they did within 5 days. And then they released her. And now she's at the university, you know, happily studying away to do something else with her life. But that just shows you how difficult it is really to die from ivermectin. Deaths from ivermectin are like really, really rare.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, Twyla. We have so much still that we want to touch on. Stay tuned for more information on your health. We'll be right back.
An awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell, because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases that they come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to your gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, that helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for. I have an integrative clinic here in a suburb called Middleburg Heights in Cleveland, Ohio. We've been here since 1996. And what you get in your diet is just not good enough these days. And we are big fans of the right and the appropriate supplements. And we have sought out a supplement partner that we really like that only sells to licensed doctors and licensed healthcare practitioners. You can't pick these up at Walmart and you can't get them on Amazon. They're really high quality products that we have also worked with this company for almost 20 years. And they do a private label line for us. It's called the Opti line. It's OPTI. And then it'll say like Opti multivitamin, Opti immune. And then you see it on our website. It's a white bottle that's got green leaves on it. Those are our private label supplements that we have specifically chosen and feel that they are really, really good quality product that you need to take either every single day or at least at times when you've gotten sick and you want to recover.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Twyla Braes on, and we just finished talking about ivermectin, HIPAA, and we didn't even get a chance to touch yet on the Medicare advantage that we thought we'd get through, but it was such an interesting conversation just on that ivermectin alone that it took us right through the first segment. Twyla, what is going on with Medicare right now?
So Medicare Advantage in particular. So I'll just say a few things about Medicare. And we are going to be putting out a handbook on Medicare hopefully soon, but we're still working on it. Anyway, but it's really important to understand what kind of trouble Medicare is in the United States. It is, it's got about 65 to 67, I can't remember what the right numbers are, million recipients dependent on it right now. And they are paying out billions, like $54 billion more per year than the money that is coming in to fund the program. And as a matter of fact, our Medicare, I can't remember, it's called MedPAC. Anyway, it's this government organized institution. And it said that in 2024, they expect Medicare Advantage plans, the recipients in Medicare Advantage plans, to receive $83 billion more than those who are in original Medicare. So for your listeners, you know, you have a choice when you turn 65, not much of a choice. We, you know, this is a socialistic program, but you have a choice when you turn 65 that you can choose original Medicare, which is a little bit more expensive, but gives you freedom to go to any doctor, to go to any hospital, to go to anywhere, or you can choose Medicare Advantage. And if you choose Medicare Advantage, all the money that the federal government has allotted for you, they give to Medicare Advantage plans, and then they tell the plans that they are able to deny access to care for care that they consider not medically necessary. So this article that you're seeing here, if you scroll down, just scroll down to, I think it's number seven. Right there, you can see that figure that the government will spend $83 billion more on Medicare Advantage beneficiaries than if they were enrolled in fee-for-service Medicare, which is original Medicare. And so, last week, I think it was, the Biden administration decided to cut Medicare Advantage payments cut payments to Medicare Advantage plans. And the plans are yelling about that because they don't like that. But the fact of the matter is the reason why you see that $83 million more, they're getting all of this extra money, which they use to offer $0 premiums to seniors. They use to offer silver sneakers, gym fitness programs, or dental care, or vision care, eyeglasses once a year, that sort of thing. So they've got all this money to have incentives to draw the seniors into Medicare Advantage. But then once you're in Medicare Advantage, then you could likely never be able to get out. Sort of like that song about, you know, Hotel California.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you can
check out any time I like, but you can never
leave. But you can never leave, right? And so that's the possibility that people won't be able to leave by the time that they realize that when they get really sick, these plans can just deny access to all of those dollars that the federal government has given them. And it's somewhere between around $9,500 to $14,000 a month, a year, that the government will give to these plans. And so, but that doesn't happen in original Medicare. And so there's a lot of things happening here. There's 52% of seniors that are in Medicare Advantage, and they do not recognize the possibility that this is actually a trap for them. And so one of the things that for our booklet is we're just going to help people understand the difference between original Medicare and Medicare Advantage. Ultimately, our organization is trying to build an escape hatch out of Medicare, because we really want people to be able to leave so that they don't have their life rationed away. So we have called in this press release, we have called this pay cut, you know, talking about Medicare Advantage as a bait and switch, because it's a $0 premium for lots of people, right? They're baited to come in. And then when push comes to shove and they have a serious chronic or acute condition, you know, or they might be dying, and suddenly they find out, whoops, okay, that was free at the beginning, and now it's almost impossible to get the care that I want. I think the figure is something like 90% of the Medicare Advantage plans do not let you go to a cancer treatment center. So they'll pick the network for you. You can go to that hospital, but maybe there's no really good specialist for what you have at that hospital. Well, then it's going to be out of network costs for you. And so, you know, I had an orthopedist say to me, I said, he had no idea what we thought about Medicare Advantage or much about it, but I just said, what do you think about Medicare Advantage? He said, oh, people have no idea how expensive it's going to be for them, and they have no idea how hard it might be to get the care that they want. And that is not how the Medicare Advantage agents sell this to seniors. That's not what they say. And what seniors don't understand is that the agents can get somewhere between, depending on additional benefits or travel opportunities or free trips or whatever, somewhere between $625 per recipient that they get into the program, wow, up to $1,300 per enrollee. So, you know, it's really advantageous for them to get as many seniors as possible into the program. But we call Medicare Advantage, we call it Medicare Disadvantage, because we really want people to see the trap that they could be facing.
Well, once again, this is 1984. Once again, you have that doublespeak, right? If it's telling you it's an advantage, just expect it to be the opposite, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's kind of like when they pulled the 12, what do they call them? The disinformation dozen, is that what they call it?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And, you know, back when that came out, I said, oh, the information dozen is what they're really telling you. So, I mean, that's a great honor to put that on your badge. information dozen, Dr. T is on that list. So just, you know, it's such an incredible world of doublespeak that people will get sucked into. And then you have these seniors who are not going to go out there. I mean, for the most part, there are many, many seniors out there, my mother included, who are going to do their research, who are going to look into it, who are going to, you know, really tap into the information and want to know more. But there's a lot of people out there who are not going to do that. They're going to trust the people. These are people who would trust at a handshake, you know, a handshake deal. And they're going to trust that. And I see that even in my own community, where a lot of people, you know, maybe they've been here for 50, 60 years, but they still don't speak English very well. You know, they've come from Europe and they're still speaking, you know, Portuguese or Italian or Greek. And that's, they've grown up in those communities and they haven't had a need to speak English or to use the internet. They just, you know, they don't live in that world. So what are they going to do? They're going to trust whoever's coming to the door, you know, because that's what they were raised at. They were raised in an era where your word meant something.
Right.
And who's to know? I'm just like going back to the hospital staff where you have the receptionist who doesn't even know that the data collection is just a data collection, not really for patient privacy. You know, they may be coming right out there and saying, hey, there's this Advantage program for you that's going to help. I don't know, I don't work in that field, but they may not know that this is really a disadvantage. How much do they actually know about the down the road outcomes that will happen to these people if they're trained just to say the script, right?
So if Diane were to, while I say this next thing, go onto our homepage, I would like to point something out because I would like to direct people to actually download this form to help them in the exam room. So if she just goes to our page and I'll start to talk about it. So this is our homepage, cchfreedom.org. And so we have created something called the CCHF discharge instructions. Now, when you're at the hospital or at the doctor's office, lots of times, although increasingly you don't get these and should, they're called discharge instructions to tell you what to do when you leave the office so that the doctor knows that you know what you're supposed to do when you go home. And it's all been clearly explained to you. Well, our discharge instructions are to tell people what to do. Just go down a little bit from there to our post. Go to the post a little bit further. Stop right there. And then you can see the discharge instructions right there off to the right. So if you just click on those, then this is to help you in the exam room. And just click on the download PDF in red there. There you go. And there are 6 points here. Is that not loading? Did you click on the download PDF in red?
Should I try one more time?
I guess not. Okay. But anyway, what this is, so we have, there's five different ways that you will be presented the HIPAA form, for example, sometimes just a statement in a consolidated or coercive consent form. And we ask you to cross it out. But on our discharge instructions, we tell you all five of those ways that this will be presented to you and how to get out of having to sign it. We tell you about how to protect your children. We tell you why not to sign questionnaires or 12 questions, maybe, I think it's 12, to ask your doctor in the exam room. There you go. Now, if you go to the top of that, okay, so this is what it looks like on the top. And then C, ask questions before you accept treatment or prescriptions, refuse to answer intrusive questionnaires, refuse to sign the HIPAA acknowledgement statement. And then number four is, go down to four, protect your privacy rights, protect your child, and talk to your state legislators. Because these are the things that you can actively engage in at home, in the exam room, with your neighbors. You can share this. Somebody's going to the doctor's office. You can say, hey, I've got some instructions for you. You might want to think about asking these kind of questions when you're at the doctor's office. So this is just a useful tool for Americans that we hope that they will find handy to help them on the outside, you know, because we can't be there all the time. And so this is our way of helping people.
That's a really handy tool. I mean, right across the board, everybody should have that in their homes, you know, in a folder ready to go. Because God forbid something happens last minute. It's kind of like we keep talking about prepping. We're all about prepping for different things, right? Whether it's medical prepping or survival prepping. Well, this is part of your survival prepping. Yeah. You don't ever want to be stuck in a position where you don't know where it is. This should be handy. Somewhere quick, you can grab it. You know, in your medical files or wherever it is, this should be with you when you go. Because, you know, if you're in an emergency situation, you're going to be nervous. You're going to forget. And, you know, one of the things we always tell people to do also is to have their team, you know, make sure you know who your circle of support is so that you can lean on that person in your time of need. Because, you know, when you're stressed and when you're rushing, there are things that are going to, you know, that are going to fall behind. So this is a tool I think everybody should have in their.
So you know, I'm a nurse, and so I just want to say this, that I have developed, I have purchased this like plastic container that, you know, it has a lid and there's that little thing that you, right? So it can hold a number of things in there. And so I just take that every time to the doctor's office when I go, and I have a little notebook in there to take notes. And so I would encourage people to have that sort of thing. That is their go bag every time they go to the hospital or every time they go to the exam room to see a physician. And then they can take their own notes. They can make sure that they have any kind of discharge instructions. Any paper can go and come home with them. Any helpful things that they want to bring to the doctor goes into this one place, right? And then they can prepare and take it. And when you come in to the doctor's office and you come in with a notepad because you've created some questions that you want to ask, and I always tell people, go in there, pull out your pad, pull out your pen, and then never set your pen down until you're done. Because if you set your pen down, it will be hard to pick up. It will be hard to get to those questions. While you continue to hold it and you continue to hold the pad in your hand, they know you're not done. And so this is another really useful thing in the exam room. And because you need to get your questions answered. So just another tool.
I love that. I didn't know you were a nurse.
Yeah. An emergency room, pediatric emergency room nurse.
No mm-hmm. kidding.
Wow. I haven't done it since I started this organization, but absolutely.
Well, good for you. I'm going to ask you a question then that you maybe haven't been asked in this show. Mm. What was your aha moment?
Oh, my aha moment was listening to President Clinton when he addressed the nation on national television, held up his national health security card and said, this is the healthcare system that we're going to create for all of you. And I realized that if they took over the healthcare system, they would take over the country. And they would, of course, limit access to care. They would control the doctors. They would have all of our data, you know, and so a lot of what the Clintons wanted to take place has taken place through Obamacare, through several other laws. I have a whole history of those laws, just, you know, law by law by law in my book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, just to show how this happened and see the laws that made this come true. It shouldn't have come true, but it is. And that's why we built the wedge, you know, to move towards a parallel system of health freedom. Eventually, we want cash-based hospitals. We want real insurance. A health plan is not real insurance. It's the corporate version of socialized medicine. So a health plan in law, a health plan is actually called prepaid health care. It's not health insurance. Health insurance is a private contract with you and the insurer, and the insurer pays you, and then you pay your doctor and your hospital. There's no quibbling. They don't say, oh, it's not medically necessary. There's nothing like that going on. So that's where we want to go. And, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years and I saw where the Clintons wanted to go. I see where we have all gone in that time. And so we have said we can't fix the current system. We just have to empty it out of people, empty it out of doctors, empty it out of power, and build a parallel system over here that really works for patients, focuses on patients, and is affordable and confidential without any outside interference.
Well, I think that, you know, the part of the problem is that we don't live in a patient-centered care mm-hmm. world. We live in a doctor or practitioner or administrative driven world. You know, I remember dealing with Sarasota Memorial a couple of years ago. And, you know, I one of my arguments was, you know, you're taking your orders from administration rather than letting the doctors try to make a decision that they know in their mind and in their hearts that are the right thing to do, but their hands seem to be tied because administration is setting down the rules. And that's not just them. I mean, I singled them out, but that's really not just them. It was the entire country and really the entire world is coming down from administration. And so what kind of doctors are you working with your families when you're going into these hospital settings, when you're going into these, I'm going to call it mainstream medical doctors, because you're walking into a place where they feel their hands are tied, even if in reality it's not. There is definitely that, you know, gorilla in a cage syndrome. You know that analogy where they put the gorilla in a cage so long that eventually when they open up the door, he didn't leave. Well,
That's right. It
puts them in that position, and you know they're afraid of reputation loss, they're afraid of income loss. They look at all those things like, oh, if I step over that line, you know, I may lose my livelihood and my status. And so they're more afraid of a disappointing administration than they are of having a sick patient. You know, it's just, I mean, and we see that even with informed consent across the board. I mean, look what happened over the last few years. Look what's been happening for almost, you know, since vaccine rollouts ever happened at all. I mean, going way, way back to the beginning, when do you see true informed consent with any vaccination that they've given any child or adult in history? When were they giving true informed consent? I mean, and going back to, you know, you talked about one of those cartoons that talked about HIPAA and said if only patients knew that, you know, or if only doctors had to give informed consent about all the information that they're handing over us. Well, same the other way around. If only doctors had to show them all the side effects, had to show them the true informed consent, well, nobody would be walking over and getting this done, right?
Right. Well, all of that you have just said there talks about the fact that we have said the mission of medicine has been taken over by the business of healthcare. And there's about somewhere between 70 and 75% of the doctors who are now employees. So they have taken down their private shingle. They are now under the control of outsiders whose only purpose for the healthcare system is an agenda that has nothing to do with the patients. And so, you know, that's part of the reason. That's another reason that I wrote the book. You know, it says the dangerous truth about electronic health records, because the health records, Dr. Silverstein, who I quote in that book, says they are a command and control system through which every clinical decision must pass, controlling clinicians and resources, right? And so that's what we have going on here, is a system that has been turned over on its head. It's exploiting patients. It's exploiting doctors. I talked to one doctor at a conference recently, and he had just decided to go free and build his own cash-based practice. And I said, "What made you decide to do that?" And eventually, he got down to the point that he said, "I was considering suicide," you know, because they can't handle. They know what they're supposed to be doing for the patients, right? And these other people who haven't had a drop of medical education, have no responsibility for the patient whatsoever, are the ones who are making the orders, populating the electronic health records, so it only has the things the hospital or the health plan wants a patient to have and nothing else. That's what happened during COVID, right? Ivermectin was taken off and out of the electronic health record, and the electronic health record system is where they make the orders. And so if ivermectin is not in there, they cannot order it. And so, you know, this kind of control, which has nothing to do with the patient and everything to do with the money. At that very same conference, this one doctor was giving a speech. And if I get this right here, he said the electronic health record is a cash register and the patient is an ATM. So now you can see how the healthcare system has been turned on its head. It's not working for the patients. It's not working for quality of care. It's all about the money. It's all about outsider agendas. And it's all about the data, because the data is so valuable. I talked about United Health Group, right? And the amount of money that they got in mm-hmm. their data. Right. So that
I think you said $18.9 billion.
$18.9 billion. That's correct. In 1 year.
It's mind blowing. You know, it's the same thing that they do with these babies. You know, they're giving them injections on day one of birth. They're giving them, you know, the Hep shots and K shots. And what have they just done? Created a patient for life. You know, if it's not about control, it's certainly about the money. Twyla, it's always a pleasure to have you here. You and I can probably go on for another half an hour, but we come to the end of our show. We still have a few things that we want to talk about. I'm going to save that for the next one for sure. Okay. And we need to have you come and talk about some of the chapters in your book next time, Twyla, because that is so fascinating. If we can go through some of those, and if you want to pull out some of the chapters that you think, you know, we really need to remind people of this, I think it'll be very beneficial. I think every single person who watches the show should go and grab Twyla's book, and we'll put a link up here for you to do that. You need to have this in your library. These are resources that you should know, because knowledge is everything. You know, they say knowledge is power. Well, the application of knowledge is power. It's powerful. So you have to know how to apply the things you've learned. And these are not just things that you put in the back of your library and forget about it. These are things that you will learn and you will use going forward, because you have to understand what happened in history to know how to stop repeating it. It's the only way for us to be able to move forward in anything. So with that, I want to close with one of Dr. Tenpenny's favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. And until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust God for everything. He'll never let you down. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Stay tuned for the next few minutes for special announcements about our sponsored products. Then mark your calendars for Monday, 7 p.m. for the next episode of the Tenpenny Files on Your Health. Good night and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.